Wow. What did you do in the Marine Corps?
I was, let's see here. Can you, well, you can't see. See that rocket right there, that missile? Mm-hmm. I crewed the Hawk missile system in the Marine Corps.
Okay. Very
so
cool.
So I was air defense, and it's kind of funny. Some of our equipment's being used in Ukraine right now.
That's awesome.
Why do I know that? Because Raytheon tried to hire me 3 years to work in White Sands.
Oh, okay.
It's still around.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great X, you. Roger, over.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode talking about creating or creator conversations. This is the Military Creator Con series, and my guest today is Travis Partington. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Doing well, doing well. Travis Partington is a United States Marine Corps veteran, the host and founder of Oscar Mike Radio. Oscar Mike Radio is going into its 10th year of production. Travis's interviewing style creates a welcoming environment where every story is valued, establishing Oscar Mike Radio as a true home for all veterans to share, heal, and support one another. He also produces and hosts the Abington Veterans Muster for the town of Abington and does voiceovers, MCs, video editing work, and beyond the microphone. He's a father, a competitive weightlifter, and a motorcycle enthusiast. Travis, super pumped to get to talk to you. Anytime that I get to sit down with another podcaster or a military veteran and someone who's been a part of Military Creator Con in the past, I know it's going to be an amazing time. The first question for those that don't know you is, what are you going to be talking about at Military Creator Con?
At Military Creator Con this year, I'm going to be talking about how, you know, say you're a business owner, veteran or otherwise, or you've got like a nonprofit, an initiative, whatever it is, there's this resource called Community Access Television that you can utilize to get your brand story told. And it's interesting because a lot of people are like, well, why should I fool around with Community Access TV? Well, say if you're, you know, a small business owner or, you know, and you're a parent, and you've got, you know, a spouse and this and that going on, your time to spend on developing a video podcast or a show compresses greatly. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to, if you want to look and sound good, spend time getting the equipment dialed in, your vibe dialed in, and, you know, make it editing wise be good. And I try to tell people, you can go to your community access station, record a show there. Yes, it will go up on the town's, you know, channel or their YouTube channel, but then you can get that link and embed it into your website. Hmm. And so that allows you to bypass some of the growing pains of developing your own podcast or your own show and having someone kind of do that for you, kind of outsource it for you to be a broadcast TV quality product.
That's amazing.
But and then allows you to tell your story the way you want to. Now, you and I are both podcasters. We love doing this. You know, I like when Zoom comes out with a new, you know, whatever, I'm all over it, right? Yep. I mean, big Zoom guy, big Blackmagic guy, big, mm-hmm. you know, Shure guy, right? But not everybody's like you and me. Mm-hmm. But they've got a business and they're trying to grow it. They're trying to get good, stable content out there. And working with a community access, you know, manager will get your story at a baseline minimum that looks good. And you get to meet cool people. You get to, you know, show people what you can do on television and then inviting guests. It's like, okay, yeah, come down to the studio and be on TV. So for a person in their local community, it's a great way to network, a great way to get your story out there, and a great way to establish your expertise.
Is there a cost involved in going to the community access television?
That's the best part. I mean, there isn't, because here's how it works. I'm going to come into this during my discussion is per the FCC, people like Comcast and Verizon and other TV providers have to pay a fee to local towns for community access television because we're not over the air antenna anymore. Right. There's still over the air TV. You can still catch HD over. So part of the deal to provide that baseline service for communities is that money comes from cable providers and or your cable bill. There's a section in that bill that, you know, goes towards, you know, funding the cost for that station.
Hmm.
So now if you have like a prop you want, or maybe you want to wear a branded t-shirt, or you got to pay for that. But as far as signing up and having to pay a fee, no, by law, you can go down there, you have to present your idea. And I've done it for my TV show, and I'm doing it for another one right now. You have to, you know, draw up your plan, show them what you want to do. They'll give you a slot of when they can record you. And as long as you are coming there every month or every week even, you can get the support you need to do it. You can learn, you know, how to be on camera. So you're getting all the support, you're getting all this expertise. Nothing's free, right? But you're not spending,
right,
you know, $1,000 to get a podcast kit going, right, or trying to take your cell phone video or audio and trying to make that into something that you just really don't have the knowledge or expertise to do that. So,
and you're also in a studio.
You're in a studio, right? And you and I both know that when you have that kind of resource there, the quality goes up greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less stress for you because, you know, when I do the Abington Veterans Muster or the other program that I'm working with, mm-hmm, we have the, you know, just like for you and me, we have our show outline all set.
Yep.
And then we execute. Well, this, we're talking to this person today at this time. They're doing this. I've got this for my props. The program manager and the camera people will set up the cameras the way they want to make you look good. Because, again, these people working at these stations have to put out good quality content, mm-hmm, to keep their jobs as part of their service to the community. A lot of them, you'll see them at local, you know, high school football games, sports, mm-hmm, games, at political events or town, other celebrations, parades, and everything else like that. So this is part of their job. Their job, Sean, is to make you look good, sound good. So again, I mean, to me, not everybody is you and me, and that's fine. Take all that out and tell your story without all that worry and concern. Grow your brand that way and get some value out of it. And then also you're getting to meet some great people in your community. Mm-hmm. And that's where you need to start.
Right. Love that. How did you get involved in this? You were, or are, I know how Marines are. Once a Marine, always a Marine. So how did you get involved in this post Marine Corps, or were you involved in it during your time serving?
Well, so the podcast came first, and I always liked radio. My first part-time job was working for 98 Rocks in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Heck yeah.
Asking country guys why they didn't listen to rock and roll. Let me tell you, that was some great combos. Great combos.
That's great. And
add the boot that I wasn't from Louisiana at all. I grew up in the Midwest. So right. Yeah, I sounded different, acted different, the whole nine yards, right? Yeah. But I always liked radio. I even go back to Rush's Spear of the Radio song. I mean, that really like hits home, right? And so I got out of the Marine Corps, and about 10 years ago, about 10 years ago when we're doing this, you know, I had this desire to start Oscar Mike Radio. And then as I went on, you know, people had me on TV to do certain things. And the Veterans Service Officer for the town of Abington in this state, every town has a Veterans Service Officer to administer benefits and aid to veterans, said, hey, I want to do a TV show. I like what you do with Oscar Mike Radio. I want you to run it. And I'm like, no way. My pack is full. But right. he was persistent. And I'm like, well, could I make this work? I mean, this would be pretty cool if I could make it work. And I sat down and did my research, and I'm like, I came up with this idea, and I called it the Abington Veterans Muster, because muster is not only a command, it's also right. a state. Like, we're going to muster to do the mission, right?
Yep.
And that's what they did. And it's actually based on history, because in the Civil War, Abington mustered first out of the state of Massachusetts to answer the call for the Civil War.
Hmm.
So that's where that came from, right? Put it together and had my first guest on, and it was a hit, because people in the Abington community could see like their local politicians, their local business owners talking about why they support veterans. We would have people from the VA. We've had people from the VA, the Commonwealth Veterans Services, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, right? All these people come in and talk about what they do. Now, all of a sudden, these people understand that it's a layered approach to advocating for veterans. You have the individual, you have the business owner, the nonprofit, so on and so forth. And it was worked out really well. We're over 2 years old now.
Very cool. Wow. What did you do in the Marine Corps?
I was, let's see here. You can't see. See that rocket right there, that missile? Mm-hmm. I crewed the Hawk missile system in the Marine Corps.
Okay. Very cool.
So I was air defense, and it's kind of funny. Some of our equipment's being used in Ukraine right now.
That's awesome.
Why do I know that? Because Raytheon tried to hire me 3 years to work in White Sands.
Okay.
It's still around.
Very cool. I like that. I was a tactical aircraft maintenance specialist in the Air Force. So I was basically a fighter jet crew chief, crewed 15s, 16s, A-10s, 22s. Did a bunch of other.
At Barksdale?
No, I was never at Barksdale. I was at Lake and Heath for 15s, and then I was at Aviano for 16s, and then worked Idaho back 15s. It was so crazy how they kind of did that. It was like, you're going to do this job, and then as you get rank, we're going to open up all the shreds, because you had like only 15 guys, only 16 guys, and then said, no, you can work anything. And then 15 guys went to 16 world, 16 went to A-10s, A-10s went to 15s, and they were like, oh, this is really bad. I didn't go to tech school for 15 or for A-10 or 16. Like, at the time, I only went to school for 15s. So for me to go to a 16 base, I know nothing about this aircraft. They were like, well, this is a really crappy idea. So then they got rid of that and said, no, go back, undo, control, alt, delete. And the Air Force went back and said, everybody's having a shred again. And then like 10 years later, they were like, we don't need shreds. And they're like, here we go again. And then they quickly found out, because we had U2 guys come to 15 world and 16 guys are like, I don't know nothing about this airplane. And we're like, why? Why do we do this? I don't understand why we do this. So
I know you're the host, but I want to ask you a question, because we studied aircraft ID heavily in Hawk school, and that was very much a part of our job. Mm-hmm. And we always, I'm a Marine Corps, but we always felt like the F-15 never got the cred, props that it should. And when you start looking at what that aircraft is, what its role is, does, you could argue that it is a badass piece of aircraft.
It is an amazing aircraft. We lost 3 F-15s just recently, and it's like the first time that really that's
a friendly fire, though.
That's ever happened. Like, it's the first time it's kind of really ever happened. That is a battle-tested piece of machinery. Even 16s, A-10s. I mean, our fighter jets are second to none. There's no aircraft. I don't care what other country has, whatever. And most, like, we sold F-15s to the Singaporeans. We sold F-15s to the Koreans. 16s are in Jordan. They're in Lebanon. They're in Israel. And they've got a couple other different forms that they have, MiGs and, you know, whatever. But a lot of countries use the F-15 platform. And now the U.S. Air Force said, you can have all those ones. We're going to create the F-15X.
Yes.
And that thing is magnificent. That is an amazing, it's like you took the F-15 platform and made it modern, and so modern that there's nothing like it. Not the F-22 and the those are completely different.
Just the range it has,
god,
and the payload.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the payload on this thing. I'm like,
yeah,
how did they do this?
Yeah, they actually converted conformal fuel tanks into because it can already hold certain amount of bombs, but they converted the basically the underside into, like, it's a bomber. Like, that's what it is. It's a fighter bomber.
It's supersonic, by the way.
It's supersonic, yes.
So I'm like, wild. Sitting there, I'm like, wait a minute. How in the world did you confuse an F-15 with a MiG, or even the F-14? Like
right.
Somebody should be getting strong firing squad, as far as I'm concerned, Sean.
Yeah, it's wild. So I really enjoyed my time, and then I became a drill instructor, and then I became a speaker after that, because you do a lot of speaking, and then you're asked to speak, and that's kind of how my life came, and then became a podcaster and a speaker and, you know, all that stuff. So what I love about podcasting is bringing conversations like this together, and there's going to be a lot more conversations happening at Military Creator Con, April 16th to the 18th in Arlington, Texas. If you're listening to this, please go to militarycreatorcon.com. Check us out. If you're a veteran, Guard and Reserve, active duty, if you're a supporter of military veterans, come check us out. Come see what we're doing. Travis will be speaking there. I'm going to be speaking there. And we'd love for you to come join the conversation and become part of the Military CreatorCon community. Travis, I have one more question before we close, which really doesn't mean anything, but it gives everybody listening hope that we're almost done.
Well, I got a question for you, so ask your question.
Okay, perfect. What I would love to know is what brought you to the Military CreatorCon community?
Well, for me, I looked at different conferences out there where veterans were welcome. Mm-hmm. And it's either one, it's like a one panel with a couple of veterans and that's it.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, we're off in the back corner somewhere. Yeah. The veterans are over there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like podcasting, you know, we don't have our own category, but they're there, but we just don't really acknowledge them. It irritates me a little bit if you cannot tell. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the thing is, we're never the focal point or attention of the conference, the podcast event, whatever it is. And for the first time, and I really got to see this last year in Orlando, you could see that James and Mara were trying to create this, what I call an ecosystem, an incubation, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, an ecosystem where it doesn't matter what you're doing in your space or even how you're doing it. If you're doing it and really in your space and you've been doing it for a year or 10 years or even longer, you can come to a place where you'll meet people like yourself. And at the very least, you'll get supported in what you do. Mm-hmm. And because people will understand the game that you're in and what you're trying to do. Best case scenario, you're going to expand your network, your reach, and get like, hey, you know what? I know somebody who needs what you're doing. Here's their contact info. Let me set you up with a Zoom call, meeting, whatever. And you can start moving yourself forward with people who are going the same way you are. And that's, to me, is what makes it so powerful.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love that. I got involved with James and Mara. Well, really, James, since 2016, 2017, helping put on the Day Before PodFest event, 2018, 2019, all the way through till now. And happy to be on the team and a part of what they're doing. And I've kind of been here since the beginning. And just to see it evolve has been an incredible journey in itself, but an honor to help out the veterans who maybe are struggling and maybe need a community and kind of don't belong in other places, but they can belong here.
So my one question to you is, how awesome is it that Veterans Podcasting has changed so much since you and I got started?
Oh, man. Yeah. When you were a veteran podcaster, they thought that you were like a veteran in the game of podcasting. We're like, no. I mean, I'm a veteran. And they're like, oh, so when you said, yeah, I'm a veteran podcaster, they thought you'd been doing it for a decade or something. You know, I started podcasting in 2016. My show took off in 2017. I sold that show in 2021, started a handful more over the course of the last 8, 9, 10 years. I've helped launch over 25, 30 shows and bought and sold a handful of podcasts and flipped podcasts like a piece of property. And we're getting the recognition to where it's a veteran creator. You're a veteran. Like, people get it now, you know, and it's not just because back in 2017, every veteran who had a podcast had a show on transitioning into the civilian world. Then you started seeing some motivational ones. Then you started seeing veteran entrepreneurs, and then a vetpreneur group came out, and then all of a sudden authors and like everybody started becoming well-known in creators, and then you got Jocko and David Goggins, and like all these big name creators started popping up everywhere. And you're like, okay, maybe we got some traction, you know? And so a lot of the people that I talk to, they're not just doing like, here's how you transition. It could be veteran millionaire is a thing where there's a lot of veterans that get together and are in real estate. There's a lot of veterans that get together on just shooting the breeze, you know, spending time 30 minutes, 40 minutes on a podcast, laughing it up, talking about their military career. Those are really funny shows. And then there's guys that, you know, like you and I, like the shows that we produce that are delivering value and solving problems and creating community. And that's really, once you get out of the military, man, we lose our identity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We need that.
Awesome. You're going to get more of it here in April in Arlington, right, Sean?
Absolutely. April 16th through the 18th. We're going to be in Arlington. Super pumped. If you're listening to this right now, please join the Military Creator Con community. See us on YouTube, on your favorite podcast platform, and join us at Military Creator Con at militarycreatorcon.com, April 16th through the 18th, Arlington, Texas. Come join us, and we'll see you there.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Have a good day.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great X, you. Roger.